would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 1. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God who is all-powerful and all-wise. We know that You're not only the God of heaven and earth who spoke this world into existence, but You're the one that has declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand." And we're thankful, Lord, that You're the sovereign God of heaven and earth, that You're all-powerful and all-wise. We find great peace and joy in knowing that You're able to do all that's right and good. We're thankful that You're our Heavenly Father. We're thankful that we have the privilege to be called the sons of God. We're thankful that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was willing to come into this earth to save us from our sins. And during this season, when we rejoice in Him coming, we rejoice in His birth. We can't even look at His birth without also thinking about His life and His perfect life. And we think about Him going to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins. We're thankful for His resurrection from the grave, and we're thankful that Jesus rules and reigns right now as King of kings and Lord of lords, that He is now on His throne. And we're thankful that we have the privilege to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we pray that You would help us in this hour, that we might hear the Word of God, that we might learn from Thy Word, that we might be doers of Thy Word and not hearers only. Bless us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Last week we tried to look at some of the names of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Word of God says that His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The Word of God says that He has a name, and that name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there are many other names given in the Word of God whereby Jesus Christ has been and is still called. But there is one name, the Word of God says, that is above every other name. Doesn't matter what other name of Jesus you might think about or might look in the Word of God and see, God has given Him a name that is above every of the other names that we might look at, and that name is Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus that we do so many things. When we baptize in the church, we baptize in the name of Jesus. Not of Emmanuel or some of the other many names, but we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus taught us that when we baptize, that we're to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that name is what? That name is Jesus. When we pray in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do, while we're here to worship today, we're here to worship in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that name is extremely important, and that name was given to Him not by Mary and Joseph, but that name was given to Him by God Himself. The angel Gabriel came to Mary before she was ever conceived with child. The angel came to Mary and told Mary that she was going to conceive and she was going to bring forth a son, and that they would call His name Jesus. That's what Gabriel told Mary that His name would be, is Jesus. And then told Mary that He shall be great, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Many other things that the angel spoke to Mary, but the main thing I want you to remember is, the angel told Mary, before he ever gave her the child, that his name would be called Jesus. And here in Matthew chapter 1 that we're looking at this morning, in Matthew chapter 1, another angel or the same angel came to Joseph, and the angel said to Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary. Now this is after Mary is with child. Jesus is in Mary's womb when the angel comes to Joseph and tells Joseph not to be afraid to take unto him Mary, his espoused wife, because that was in her was of the Holy Ghost. It was not because of Mary and Joseph coming together that Jesus was born. In fact, you read the Word of God carefully, you'll find that Mary and Joseph never came together as husband and wife in an intimate way until after the birth of Jesus Christ. And the angel comes to Joseph and he tells Joseph this. Look in your Bibles now at Matthew chapter 1. Listen, please, beginning in verse 20. I'll read 20 and 21. The Word of God says, "But while he," that is Joseph, "while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now listen carefully to verse 21. There are three times that the word "shall" is used here. Does everybody see that? Verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, how many of you have ever heard of hard shells? Originally, that term "hard shells" was not hard shells, it was hard shells. That is, that when the Word of God ever said "shall," that God said that he was going to do something, that God shall do something, that word "shall" was emphasized very strongly, signifying the sovereignty of God, that whatever God says he's going to do, God will do it and it shall come to pass. And so it was called a hard shell. And this is one of the verses that, as Primitive Baptist and every other Christian, I hope, loves this verse of Scripture, where the angel said, "She shall bring forth a son." Now, there was no way that child could have been a daughter. It was a son. It was conceived by God, and she shall bring forth a son because God said it was going to happen. Do you believe that what is to be will be? Do you believe that what God says, that's what I mean by what is to be will be. It doesn't mean that everything is predestinated, but it does mean that whatever God has declared is going to happen, it will happen exactly as God says. Because God is sovereign, and when God says he's going to do something, it's going to be done, and it's going to be done exactly the way God says it shall be done. And so it is that the angel spoke to Joseph and said, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Did you know that Mary and Joseph could not have come with another name? Because God said, you shall call his name Jesus. And then he explains the reason, which he didn't do to Mary, but he does to Joseph. He explains the reason that his name shall be called Jesus. He says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, brethren, Jesus today is sometimes portrayed as a very weak individual. Some people see Jesus as somebody who wants to save you if you'll let him. Now that's a weak Jesus. That's a Jesus that's less powerful than you are. He wants to do something, but he can't do it unless you'll let him. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Bible says here that Jesus, who came into this earth, the Bible says that he shall, what? Save. Was he going to offer to save, or was he going to save? Was he going to try to save, or was he going to save? He shall save his people from their sins. And brethren, Jesus accomplished what he came to do. Why is his name called Jesus? Because he shall save his people from their sins. That word Jesus means Savior. That means that he is the one who saves. In fact, there are many individuals that when they would see Jesus, do you know what they would say often? Instead of saying Jesus, they would say salvation, like Jonah. You remember when Jonah was delivered from the hell, the belly of hell that he was in, Jonah made this statement. He said, salvation is of the what? Salvation is of the Lord. When Jesus went into the house of Zacchaeus, do you remember there was a man named Zacchaeus that was too short to see Jesus? So what did he do? He climbed up in a tree and he looked and he saw Jesus. And when Jesus came and looked up and saw him, he told Zacchaeus to come down. He says, I'm going to your house today. And Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus. And here's what Jesus said to Zacchaeus when he got to his house. He says, this day is salvation come unto thee. This day who came? See, he didn't even say Jesus. He says, this day salvation. Why? Because Jesus means Savior. Salvation is of the Lord. You remember on another occasion, when Simeon, who was a great man of God, and this is found in, I think in Acts, or rather in Luke chapter 2. You can turn later and look at this. But when Simeon was in the house of God, and Simeon was an old man, and he had been promised that before he died, that he was going to see, you know what he was promised he would see? Salvation. He would see Jesus. I want you to, right now, I want you to equate and see Jesus and salvation are hand in hand. They're inseparable. That's the reason his name's called Jesus, because he was going to save. And when the baby Jesus was 8 days old and was brought into the temple for the rite of circumcision and other things that went on there, that it was in the temple that Simeon took Jesus into his arms and he said to God after he held Jesus, he said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, because mine eyes have seen, you know what he said? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Looking at that baby, what did he see? Did he see Jesus or did he see God's salvation? Both. He saw Jesus, who is salvation. And so that's the reason that we think about, as we think about Jesus, we think about Him being our Savior. Not one that's wanting to save or trying to save, but one that accomplished what He came to do. That while He was hanging on the cross of Calvary, He said what? Last thing that He said, the three words that He said on the cross together. It is what? Finished. You know what He had finished? He had finished the primary work that He came to do. He had saved His people from their sins by shedding His blood and dying on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, brethren, accomplished what He came to do. The angel told Joseph, His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Now we're taught to call on the name of the Lord. The Scripture says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in all of our troubles and problems and afflictions in life, I want to encourage you to call on the name of the Lord. Because I want you to know that Jesus not only has saved us from our sins, but Jesus also right now is alive and He's ruling and He's reigning and He is right now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And right now Jesus is able to save you from every trouble and every problem of life. I want you to know that Jesus saved me and you and all of His people. He saved us at the cross of Calvary from what? What did He save us from there? He saved us from eternal hell. He saved us from our sins. That's what salvation took place 2,000 years ago. That was eternal salvation. But listen, I need more saving in my life than just eternal salvation. Let's go to the Word of God and see that God's Word says that there is a sense in which He has saved and He is saving and He will save us in the future. Look at the Word of God. Look in your Bibles, first of all, at 2 Corinthians. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen, brethren, it is important that I know Jesus right now is saving. One of the songs that we sometimes sing is, Jesus what? Jesus saves. What if we changed that to Jesus saved? Would that be true? Jesus saved. Would it be all right to still sing Jesus saves right now? Jesus saves is still true. And would it be all right to say Jesus shall save? Absolutely. Because all three of those truths are taught in the Word of God, talking about completely different things, but every one is true. Look now, first of all, in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. We need to trust in God. Listen, brethren, we live in perilous times. Did you know that? We live in perilous times. I get emails almost every night, all during the night, from people around the nation, some in Washington, D.C., and some in other places, that are saying, please get the word out. Things are terrible. Things are going on that are shocking. Things are going on that even senators don't know what's going on. They have no idea what's going on. They're going to vote tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning. They're going to vote on the health care bill tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning. Because they feel like they've got the 60 votes, so the cloture vote, and this is going to seal it. Because once that vote's taken, then all they have to have is a simple majority after that. Right now, they have to have 60 votes to pass the health care bill. And I'm not getting into politics so much. It's just that, brethren, that bill contains the fact that in America, you and I as taxpayers are going to pay for abortions. And quite frankly, I just soon can't keep doing what I'm doing. I can't be loyal to a government that's anti-Christ. I can't be loyal to a government that is anti-Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? I can't be loyal to people in Washington who are trampling our Constitution under their feet and who are trampling the Word of God under their feet. Our government is no longer what it's supposed to be. Traitors have taken over our country. You might not like those words, but I'm telling you, brethren, it's an abomination in the sight of God what's taking place in our nation. And if I didn't believe in a Savior, if I didn't believe Jesus was still in control, I'd be in a big mess tonight. I'd be in a bundle of nerves this morning. But I know Jesus is right now on His throne. And I know that no matter what happens, I know that no matter what they do in Washington, D.C., that my confidence and my trust is not in the government. My confidence and my trust and my deliverance and my salvation, past, present, and future, is not from Washington, D.C., but from my Savior, and His name is what? Jesus. What's His name mean? Savior, salvation. His name is Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. The Word of God says in verse 9 that we should trust in God who raised the dead, who raiseth the dead, who delivered us. Now verse 10 says, who delivered us. Who is that, past tense or present tense? Who delivered us? Past tense. The word delivered and the word saved mean the same thing. Did everybody follow that? Many times in the Bible that as you read in the Old Testament, especially like, for example, in the book of Joel, the Scripture says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And when Peter quotes it in Acts 2, we read the words there. The Scripture says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Delivered and saved means the same thing. If you're drowning and I reach down and get you by the hand and pull you out of that condition, have I saved you? Yes. Have I delivered you? Yes. Delivered and saved mean the same thing. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Word of God says that we should trust in God who hath delivered us. Now I want to read the whole verse and then come back. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. What does that mean? That's right now. It's ongoing. Deliverance is taking place. Has God saved any of you today? Has He delivered any of you today? Anybody been saved today? I'm not talking about eternal salvation, brethren. I'm talking about the reason you're alive today is because Jesus has delivered you from death. The reason you're alive right now is because Jesus has spared your life through another night. I know people today that have been saved from fear today. I know people that have been saved from worrying today. He delivered us from so great a death. That's an eternal death. Who delivered us from so great a death? God did. What's His name? Jesus. He delivered us from so great a death. He doth deliver. That's deliverance that's going on day by day. In whom, the rest of that verse says, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Are you expecting a future deliverance, a final deliverance to take place? Are you expecting a final deliverance? When is that final deliverance going to take place? Amen, sister. When Jesus comes back in the final resurrection, there's going to be a deliverance. And every single one of God's children, doesn't matter if they're in the grave, if they're in the grave, they're going to be raised from the dead. Who's going to come back? Jesus Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of with the trump of God and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Who's going to deliver them? How are they going to rise? How can dead people rise from the dead? They cannot rise by themselves. You go out to this graveyard, you preach to them all day long. You tell them if they'll get up and take your hand, they can go to heaven. There'll never be a one of them get out of that grave. You and I, brethren, you and I cannot deliver ourselves from the grave. The only one that can deliver from the grave is Jesus Christ. He's our deliverer. My deliverer is coming. And one day He's going to call, and the saints of God are going to rise from the grave. And they're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And we're going to be carried home to be with Him forever in that eternal heaven. Has He delivered you? Has He saved you already at the cross of Calvary? Did He save you back there? Does He save you day by day in your life? Is He going to save you one day in the future? Is He going to? Yes, He hath saved. He doth save. In whom we trust, He will yet deliver us. And it's because of Him saving that I have no fear. There is no reason for God's people to fear. Don't be afraid. I'm disgusted. I have a lot of other feelings, but I have no fear of what's going to happen to me or my family or this church, or I am sad at what is going to happen to this nation. I am sad. It grieves my soul. There's no nation on this earth I love like the United States of America. I love this nation. If I could die, and me dying would save this nation from the direction we're going in, I would gladly give my life to save this nation. I love America. The Apostle Paul loved his people, didn't he? Didn't he love the Jews? Even though he's preaching to the Gentiles, he loved the Jews. He said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my people. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he wasn't talking about eternal salvation there. He was talking about them being saved from the ignorance that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wanted them to be saved to a knowledge of the truth. He hath delivered. Look in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles just a moment to 1 Timothy. Go forward from where we're looking at right now. Go forward in your Bibles. Towards the, about halfway between there and the end, look at 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Look at the Word of God there. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, we're talking right now about looking back at He hath saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look in your Bibles please, at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Word of God says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save who? Sinners. And then Paul says, of whom I am chief. That's what he felt. He wasn't making that up, brethren. He felt like he was the worst sinner that has ever been on the face of this earth. The chief of sinners. But what was his declaration? This is a faithful saying. That Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners. He hath delivered us from so great a death. He came to deliver us, and He delivered us by His blood. Because of His amazing grace, we're going to be in heaven one day. Let me give you some death deliverers. You remember on one occasion, all the apostles were in a boat, and a big storm came up. You remember this? A big storm came up, and during the middle of that storm, Jesus was asleep in the bottom of that ship, down in the little bedroom downstairs of that ship. He was asleep. And you know what they cried out to Jesus? There were three words they cried out. Do you remember what the three words were they cried out to Jesus while He was asleep? It's similar to Master. It's a four-letter word. Lord, what? Save us! Save us! Did they need saving that day, right then? Now, were they saying, Lord, we're fixing to die, and we want You to save us from our sins and take us to heaven? Is that what they were saying? They weren't talking about dying and going to heaven. They didn't want to die right then. Listen, brethren, Sister McNeely, some of them have kind of given up on her in the hospital right now, and she says, they're just going to let me die. She doesn't want to die right now. I don't want to die right now. I look forward to being with God, but I want to stay here as long as I can, enjoy my family and enjoy the church. I want to live as long as I can, as long as I can enjoy some of the blessings that we have here. But one day, we're going to heaven to be happy forever. And it'll be better than anything here. But right now, the only thing I know about completely is right now. And I'm happy right now. You understand what I'm saying? I want to live. And so those apostles that were in the ship in the middle of that storm, they said, Lord, what? Save us! I encourage you to call on the name of the Lord when you're in trouble. I encourage you to call on His name. Call the name Jesus. That's what I wrote Sister Lisa Whitley back last night. I said, you need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to call on your Savior. You need to call His name. You need to pray in His name. It's in the name of Jesus that we're saved from a lot of things while we live right here. When Peter began to get out of the ship on another occasion, not the same occasion, Peter got out of the ship and he saw the waves boisterous all around him and he began to sink. What did he say? He said, Lord, save me. Save me. I need saving day by day. Did you know that? You probably don't think so, but occasionally I get depressed. And when I get depressed, you know what I need? You know what I need? That's right. That's right. I need saving. My wife can't save me when I'm depressed. You can't save me. Anybody that's ever been depressed, if you've ever really been depressed, you know nobody else can reach you. There's only one that can save you when you're depressed, and that's Jesus Christ. And you need to call on the name Jesus. When you're depressed, when you're discouraged, when you're despondent, when you have trouble, the Word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Word of God says that you receive not because what? Because you ask not. So many times in our lives, we're going through trouble and we remain in those troubles and we stay afflicted in our soul because we don't call on the name of the Lord. No matter what happens in my life, can I be happy even in the midst of the troubles and problems of life? Can I be happy in the Lord? I believe that I can. I believe I can call on the name of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, to be happy no matter what's going on in our lives. There's going to be a future deliverance. And I thank God that Jesus is the one that's going to raise us from the dead. And He's going to conform us to the image of the Son of God. Are you glad you're going to be changed before you go to eternal heaven? Are you glad you're going to be changed? You know how many times in my life I've turned over a new leaf? You know how many times in my life I've decided I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I could not begin to tell you. I expect it's probably in the millions of times I've thought I'm going to do a lot better. And I find in my life that sometimes I don't do better. And I'm glad, brethren, I'm glad to tell you today that my eternal salvation is not dependent on me doing better. I'm glad to tell you my eternal salvation is not dependent on what I have done, what I'm doing, or what I'm ever going to do. My eternal salvation is because of the work of Jesus. He is my Savior. He saved me from eternal hell to eternal heaven. He saves me day by day in my life when I have troubles. He saves me. And one day He's going to save me even from the grave. He's going to deliver my body from the dust of this earth. And I'm going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I'm going to be made absolutely perfect. And I'm going to be carried home to be with the Lord forever. You know who's going to do it? Tell me His name. His name is Jesus.